Well, in an age when governments are undermining family life and doing away with public holidays, let's ask the question, why are we celebrating Mother's Day? I mean, it's not a public holiday. There's no day off that costs shareholders. In fact, it makes money for retailers, doesn't it? With the sales of presents and cards and flowers and chocolate and chocolate and chocolate. But still, why celebrate Mother's Day? Isn't kind of picking out mothers like this rather kind of 1950s stereotyping of women into domestic slavery? Mother's Day is not, after all, an old tradition, an old custom. Its present form was created and promoted in 1907. We know exactly when it started, by the American Christian Anna Jarvis. And even the British Mothering Service, a Mothering Sunday, while it has older roots, only became popular as a result of Anna Jarvis's influence during the First World War and after the First World War, in the 1920s in particular, with the Mothering Sunday movement led by Constance Penswith Smith. So, why are we still celebrating Mother's Day? One reason is, of course, that the retail advertising industry loves it and promotes it. Poor Anna Jarvis, she spent the last 25 years of her life protesting against the commercialisation of the Mother's Day that she had created. She clearly lost, but, ironically, it meant that Mother's Day has been promoted ever since. But apart from the retailers, I know nobody who celebrates Mother's Day because it's a good money spinner. Basically, we celebrate Mother's Day because intuitively we know our mothers deserve recognition and gratitude for their sacrificial service to us. I mean, generally, day by day, society ignores mothers, if not puts them down, so she's just a mother. There's no pay in it, there's no honours, there's no advancement, there's no career path, there's no social significance. All the kinds of things that we may expect from any job and any working job, especially a hard and difficult one that's 24 hours, 7 days a week. As an ABC Canberra journalist put it, there's no career path for housewives, no advances, bonuses or emails of congratulations, well done. There's no job satisfaction in housewifery at all except a clean house and a happy husband. For those men amongst us, the idea of a happy husband doesn't sound too bad, but for her, that was something awful. Another journalist summarised the feminist Naomi Wolf's view of motherhood as pregnancy is difficult, childbirth is painful, breastfeeding takes skill and patience, mothering can be tedious, and fathers don't do their share of the housework. And so, we celebrate Mother's Day. We celebrate Mother's Day because it deserves praise, the mothering. We celebrate it because we are all involved. All can celebrate, for all have had mothers, and we all stop on one day of a year to say thank you, to remember them with gratitude for the hard, selfless work that our mother has done for us and on our behalf. That is, mothers are at the heart of the not-for-profit sector of our society. As some people, the not-for-profit sector of life, of the unpaid volunteers, is actually not worthwhile. I spoke to an agnostic come atheist about retirement, asking him what he was going to be doing with himself, for he was none too sure. So I asked him about voluntary work, and he replied fairly bitterly, "If they don't pay me for it, they don't value it. And if they don't value it, why should I bother doing it?" Now again, it's the Canberra ABC journalist in the same article who wrote, "Paid work gives meaning to our lives. It gives a sense of purpose and achievement, along with a sense of value. And the more we're paid, the more we feel valued. whereas the work of an unpaid housewife is afforded no value, and therefore neither is she. Here is the heart of why we celebrate Mother's Day. It's because mothers are not paid for their job. They're not paid. They don't become successful careerists because mothers work constantly out of a deep love and sacrifice for the benefit of their families. Because mothers are exemplars of love and of grace, generously giving themselves to feed, to shelter, to protect, to provide, and to care for their children. Back in 2001, the Australian Institute of Families reported that when a high school graduate becomes a mum, she sacrifices $162,000 after tax earnings, or roughly 37% of her lifetime earnings. That is a huge amount. But fancy doing such a calculation. Do we still see that everything has to be measured in money terms? The more children she has, the more potential income she loses, though none as great as that first child. Just being a mum involves putting us out of the profit into the not-for-profit sector of society. But it's more than money she foregoes. It's all the pleasures of lifestyle choices, of being in control of your own life. So there has arisen the child-free movements, the deliberate choice not to have children. Now, I'm not talking of those who, for various reasons, have not had children. I'm talking of those who, as a lifestyle choice, deliberately choose not to have children. And of course, in a free society, people are free to choose to live any way they wish to. But there are two characteristics of the child-free movement. One is their atheism. The other is their self-centeredness. For children so interfere with living my life the way I want to choose to live. So, for example, in 2005, the then 35-year-old Sarah Taylor explained her choice of being child-free in the newspapers. "I have always been career-driven and love the lifestyle that goes with it. I love my freedom to be able to go away on the spur of the moment, travelling, all sorts of things." There's many a mother who I think could agree with that. But of course, being a mother is not that. One of the chief American internet sites for the child-free movement is called Selfish Heathens, which describes itself as a vibrant online community for liberal, child-free atheists. And as you check through the child-free literature and as you check through the child-free websites, atheism is one of the dominant features and characteristics of people who make this choice. Now, in our Bible readings today, we read of Moses. Both Old and New Testament, we read of Moses. In the Old Testament, we read of Moses' mother. Her name's not recorded in the chapter we read. A little later on, we find out her name is Jochebed. She and her husband were classic parents. The Pharaoh, ruler of Egypt at the time, was killing all the Jewish boys, but she wasn't going to give her boy up to that. She made the basket and hid him in the reeds of the Nile. She was a classic mother, risking her life and all to protect her young. And when the Pharaoh's daughter saw this little babe, though he was Jewish, yet she took her pity upon him and brought him into the palace. And as we heard, Moses' sister organized for her mother, Jochebed, to be Moses' wet nurse and to be paid, actually, to look after her own child. It's a great story of the undermining authority, isn't it? It's one that you can't, if you don't like authority, you can't help but enjoy the story of Moses being paid by the Pharaoh, his mother being paid by the Pharaoh to raise him until he was of such age as to be put into Pharaoh's household and then to be put in as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It's an extraordinary story, isn't it? And yet it's such an ordinary event. Ordinary because it shows the nature of a mother's love. A love that all around the world mothers have for their children. There's more to having a child than money or pleasure or safety. For mothers, life is more than materialism. Nobody has children to look after them in their old age. Children may look after their mother in her old age, but that's a consequence of having children, not a reason for having them. Mothers, like Moses' mother, value life, the life that they bring into the world. They value it beyond their money or their safety, even beyond their own life. For mothers, life is more than materialism. And Moses learnt this lesson presumably from his mother, for he also saw life was more than money and possessions or pleasure or comfort or fame or power. For in our second reading from Hebrews in the New Testament, we read, "By faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward." Like mother, like son, Moses was not living for this world only. He saw that there were bigger issues than wealth. There are greater issues than power. There is more to life than success in this world, and there's more to life than materialism. And this living for something more than material possessions is profoundly human. For motherhood is part of our created order. To put aside your life for the benefit of others, especially within the family, especially for the sake of your own children, this is the role of mothers. This is what we expect of them. And sadly, sometimes, this is what we take for granted about them. But nothing is more human than a mother caring for her children. Mother's Day reminds us of our debt and obligation of gratitude and of care for our mothers. But it is a celebration that those who do not live for anything but themselves do not appreciate or participate in. See, this was Anna Jarvis's great hurt. She was the one who chose the second Sunday in May for the celebration of Mother's Day. It was the anniversary of her mother's death. She was the one who celebrated it with flowers and called upon people to spend time with their mother. But of course, it just became a boon for people to make money out of flowers. And rather than spend time with their mother, to send cards to their mother. And this materialistic attitude to life, so reflected in so many ways of our society, actually comes from atheism. The atheism is a philosophy that sees that there is nothing in the universe other than matter. And so philosophical materialism always gives rise to economic materialism. Be it the capitalistic atheists of the right, like Ayn Rand, or be it the socialistic atheists of the left, like Karl Marx. They are materialistic philosophies that become economic philosophies. For that's the nature of materialism. But motherhood speaks out against the inhumanity of atheism and materialism. Motherhood denies the unlivable nonsense of atheistic materialism. Let me illustrate it with one case in point. Take the case of the most famous Australian atheist, Professor Peter Singer. He's the professor of bioethics at Princeton University, world famous as a philosopher in this 21st century, and a man from Australia. Now, you have to admire Peter Singer. He is a very clever man who writes beautifully, who thinks out logically a consistent position to its very end. He is a committed atheist who has argued for a consistent ethical outcome to atheism and a new way of living in the light of atheism. He argues that because there is no God, it's false to think that humans have been created in God's image. You can't be. There is no God. And so the Western Christianized culture, he argues, has to be changed so that we no longer think of humans having a special place in the world or being valued merely by their creation. He addresses the real life issues that we are living with and struggling with, putting his atheism into practice in issues of animal rights, for which he is particularly famous, but also abortion and euthanasia and infanticide. And he is no latte-drinking, atheistic dilettante of the middle kind of chattering classes. He's nor is he an angry young undergraduate trying to show that he's a radical by walking around with a copy of The Guardian under his arm. He is a man who lives out his philosophy. He comes to his philosophical conclusions and then he puts it into practice in his life and calls upon the community and works for governments to bring about change in society in line with his atheistic philosophy. But there's his problem. For you see, his own mother was an Alzheimer's sufferer. And on his philosophy, she was no longer fit to live. She had lost her personhood, and the world's resources should not be spent on somebody who's not a person, who's lost their mental capacities and abilities. On all his philosophy and his argument, she should have been euthanized, a euphemism for killed. Yet, Peter Singer spent large amounts of money doing the exact reverse, keeping her alive. Now, when he was challenged about this contradiction by a reporter, we read, he sighed and explained that he's not the only person who is involved in making decisions about his mother. He has a sister. He did say that if it was solely he was solely responsible, his mother mightn't be alive today. That is suddenly fairly sickening, isn't it? But when it came down to it, there was more to it than that. In the New Yorker, the journalist Michael Spence reported Peter Singer as saying to him, I think this has made me see how the issue of someone with these kinds of problems are really very different. Perhaps it's more difficult than I thought before, because it is different when it's your mother. Fortunately, the great atheist is too human to be a great atheist. To try and live by his unlivable, inhuman, unethical doctrines that are now being promoted in our society to be taught in our public schools. For he comes upon this terrible boulder. It is different when it's your mother. The thing that speaks loudest in the world of the specialness of human life is motherhood. Even the atheist could see it. The woman who lays down her life for the sake of another, the woman whose whole life is saying there is more to life than materialism, the woman who brought you birth and nursed you and raised you and cares for you to the very end. And that is why motherhood is so profoundly Christian. It's why Mother's Day was created by a Christian in a church. She got the idea from listening to her mother teach at her Bible class. It's why Mothering Sunday was promoted in England by none other than a minister's daughter and spread across England in the 1920s by her four brothers, all of whom were ministers. For God, who created the whole world, created humans in his image and made us through mothers. And the character of this creator God is grace and love. The grace and love that we see not only in mothers, but more especially we see in him sending his own son into the world to lay down his life for his people. Moses knew that suffering with God's people was preferable to enjoying the pleasures of the palace. Jesus did more than suffer with God's people. He suffered for God's people, literally laying down his life for us. And so it is in the next chapter of Hebrews we read, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus, like Moses' mother, like every mother, did not live for himself, but for us, laying down his life for us. Motherhood is an expression of our Creator's pattern for life. It's hard. It's difficult. It's costly, sacrificial living for the benefit of others. That is love. That is grace. Jesus is an expression of our Creator's method of redemption. Hard, difficult, costly, sacrificial dying for the benefit of others. That is love. That is grace. Motherhood is so profoundly Christian because it is part of the Creator in his creation. For mothers, life is more than materialism, which is why we should this day with gratitude recognize our mother's gift of life for us. And not just with our lips or our presence, but also with our lives, for she has taught us that there's more to life than gifts and presents. And it's why we must this day and every day with gratitude recognize our Saviour's gift of his life for us. And not just with our lips, but also with our lives. For he has bought us and brought us to new birth by his blood, his resurrection, his pouring of his Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that in him and his actions we not only are saved, but we see your character of love and of grace. We thank and praise you, Heavenly Father, that there is more to life than just this material world, its acquisitions of its possessions, its pleasures. And we thank you this day, Father, that we see this in your created order, in our mothers, in the lives they have lived for us, for our benefit, the sacrifices they have made for us and on our behalf, that we can see in motherhood that there is more to life than materialism, that we can see in motherhood something of your character and nature, that we can see in motherhood why it would be that you would send your son into this world, for you are so loving and so gracious. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us not only to give thanks to you and to our mothers for their life and service of us, but that we would see in our mother's sacrifice something of your character and of your son's great sacrifice. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.